Dangerous. Dangerous time, Ben Azman.
Crazy.
As every time is crazy. Dangerous.
We should start having shear in a bar.
What?
We should start having shear in a bar.
No, Kadima.
Yeah?
Yes, why not? You're going to teach.
Have you heard of the disco rabbi?
Disco rabbi.
You heard of it?
No. No,
he gets shear in like a disco club. Uh-huh. It's like from the Asharim, he had no idea. You never heard of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in
Meir Sharim.
Seen him in a pub. He went to somewhere to do Kiru from Meir Sharim. Was it Svad?
No.
Mishma Aime. And he went to like disco club. He didn't know what it was. He'd like never seen one. And he sat in the corner and he gave shir. And he got like Talmidim and people would go dance and they'd come down and they'd sit and learn.
We had a student like that in the yeshiva, and now we need to take him out from Tel Aviv. He's the bartender now in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, it's a big school. 6,000 pupils
a year. A long time he was giving classes over there in that pub. Longer time he needs to hear classes over there in that pub. Rabbeinu is saying that you need to be so pure to go down in those pipes and not to be contaminated by all of the filth that there is in those places. You don't know what's going to attack you in those places. This is something to know, that our issues, the reason why a person is falling and sinning and is weak and tired and doesn't have powers, and there are very, very deep reasons for that. Just for an example, it's written on all of the prohibitions, Mayim Gnuvim Yumtaku, that water that are stolen are sweeter than regular water. Means things that a child, as a child, he heard that it's not allowed to do. For him, he's got a bigger yetzera on that thing than other things. For an example, in Tavat Ni'uf, lust for women, all of the children, you don't need to be chiloni or dati or something secular or religious or chassid, everyone, as children, they grow with that feeling of that it's not allowed. Even in the secular world, it's not allowed. It's adults, it's not for children. And to go out from that lust for women, people, it's written in the Gemara Kedusha that mi sheyesh pat besalo, it's not like someone that doesn't have. Means if you're married, it's a lot easier for you than if you're not married. Why? Because a poor person that doesn't have food, now he's getting crazy because the fact that he is poor. Not because he is hungry now, just because he doesn't have no option to find food also tomorrow. It makes him a lot more hungry than a rich person that didn't eat the same time. And he knows that he can go and buy falafel, shawarma, pita, whatever he needs in a minute. He can order pizza if he wants now. So he's relaxed, even though that he didn't eat. So if a person now is getting married, and now he's got a wife, and he's got pat besalo, bread in his basket, so he needs to have that opportunity to go out from that lust for women very easily. Now he's married, what's the problem? He's got his thing, doesn't have no problem. But because that in his
subconscious,
for him it's not allowed. Even that now she is allowed to him and everything is kosher, but in his mind it's not allowed, because they're talking about ni'uf, and it's not allowed and it's not good and he needs to keep the halacha, and it always stays not allowed in his mind, so he cannot feel sova, full and relaxed, because he's got a wife. And all of the time he thinks like a poor person that is like a bachelor that is not married. Why? Because in his subconscious it's not allowed. And things that are not allowed, like stolen, are sweeter for him, like we said in the beginning. So Mayim Gnuvim Yumtaku, so he's got a strong, crazy desire all of the time to find it, to do it, to have it. Nothing happened. We can be relaxed already. So this, all of that example, just to explain you don't know the source, the root of your problems. Why are you defecting your eyes? Why are you not guarding your eyes? Why are you not sitting and learning your life to Torah? Why you cannot open more books and more books? Why you cannot sit for 8 hours? Why you cannot be happy? Why always you chasing after yourself? Why always you blaming yourself? Those things are starting very early, started very early in a young age, or maybe even in a different lifetime. Things that a man need to have huge observation, long, long time of checking and learning about himself and investigating and thinking, who am I? What's going on with me? Why I'm so tired? Why I don't want to wake up in the morning? Why I'm eating so much? Every night I'm eating too much, and every night I feel that it's wrong, and tonight I'm going to eat too much again, I know it. And I'm going to regret on that tomorrow again, and I'm going to keep on doing this. Why? What's going on? Who am I? What's going on? What do I have inside? What is that fire that is ruining my life? What are those crazy angers, those sadnesses, those anxieties, fear from people, not how to communicate, how to answer, always afraid if they're going to ask, if they're going to... What's going on? That's therapy. Everyone has to go through therapy. Everyone needs treatments. Everyone. The best place to do it, it's in the field. First of all, it's cheap. Very good. And second reason, that there's a nice view. Third reason, that we have a promise, that Rabbeinu is promising to us, that the person that's gonna check himself every day, gonna confess, and the confession doesn't mean to chase after himself and break his bones. Even that if you're going to check, you can hear me in another time saying to you that that confession needs that you're going to break your bones to pieces and to... No, but it depends in the level. It depends in the amount of happiness that you have. Always you need to check your scale of happiness. If you're happy, very happy, you can break yourself to pieces. It will not going to damage your happiness. It's not going to damage your Avodat Hashem. If every criticism, every bad thought that you have in your mind immediately push you down to sadness, it's not for you now. It's not your job. A man has to be happy always. Especially Chassid Breslev, everyone with the smallest kippah, he's got that obligation of being happy. Because when people are looking at you and they see that you're not happy, immediately they are blaming Hashem. They're saying, if he's religious and he's not happy, Oyvei, means that the Creator is not mercy, the Creator is not good. He that serves Hashem, smallest kippah. Look like, you know, the red ones with the green frame, look like a watermelon. The small ones, you know, on the side, look like a soccer ball, like a basketball. Those small ones, tiny, funny ones. Immediately, when people are looking at you, for them you're a rabbi. You're the model of Judaism. You are serving Hashem. If you don't have a smile on your face, it's Chilul Hashem. You're disgracing the name of the Creator. Smiley keep. I need to put a smiley keep. So, for sure that the trial that we're obligated to do is not allowed to break the happiness, the joy that we have from Avodat Hashem, because Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Mesamchei Lev. They're straight, all of the obligations, and they're making your heart happy. So if your heart is not happy, it means you're not going straight. You're not serving Hashem. You may be serving Hashed, the demons maybe you're serving. You're serving yourself, I don't know.
So you're not serving Hashem. And it makes you sad.
So it means that you were not doing tshuva, you were chasing after yourself. Tshuva, what happens in the process of tshuva? You take the sin and you throw it away. It's not on you anymore. If you believe and understand the concept of tshuva, you do tshuva, you regret, you confess, and this is it. There is no sin anymore. So the burden of the avonot is not on your back anymore after you confess. So if after the confession you feel the burden of your avonot heavy on your back, means you haven't removed nothing from your back. You haven't done tshuva. You were just sinning and blaming yourself in front of Hashem Yitbarach and blaming Him, and you were angry at Him, and you were not happy at all in nothing that He gives you in life. after you do a real tshuva, you feel relieved, you feel happy. You say, Baruch Hashem, I have hope. Baruch Hashem, I made tshuva. You believe. You believe in Hashem more. The tshuva opened your eyes. This is a subject, a very interesting subject. But let's first of all complete what we said before. That we need to understand that the beginning, the reason, the source of the reason of why we're not serving Hashem Yitbarach like we should, in joy, in happiness, in cheshev, in kisufim, yearning, with a strong will, there is a reason, and it's very deep. And you need to have a merit to reach that, to find that, because on the Kadosh Baruch Hu it's written, Tach enehem mirot, he plastered their eyes that they were not going to be able to see. Hashemen leva amaze, he made the heart to be fat, means covered, that they were not going to be able to sense, to feel, to do tshuva. He's closing the gates of tshuva, chas v'shalom, if you make Hashem angry. And we all made Hashem angry. All of us, we made Hashem angry. Hashem got that need of anger in a certain way. Very small amount, kerega, as a moment. But he's got that midah. And when you make Hashem angry, so it's closing doors, nothing to do. Now I need to open those doors. Can do it with tshuva, bo sha'arav betoda, can do thanks, praises, can cry, sha'aret dim'alo ninalu, there are prayers, sha'aret tefillah, there are a lot of ways to open those gates. But needs to do that. The gate's been closed already. So now needs to open them. On that confession, and for us to understand that concept of confession in the most basic way, is to understand, like Rabbeinu said and defined the Itbodedut as a conversation, sicha, that a man needs to talk to the Creator like you talk to your best friend. This is how you start the Itbodedut. Now you want to thank Hashem, you need to thank Him like you talk, like you thank your best friend. Mamash, with all of your heart. You tell Him, thank you on this and on that, and I really appreciated that you done that and this for me, and that you called, and that I saw that you were with me in that time, and thank you, Mamash, I wanted to tell you. And if you pray, exactly the same, like you pray to your best friend. From that you can learn also that when you ask someone for something, it's like you're praying to him. It means you believe that he's got power to give you. Can you give me a ride? You pray now. Can you transfer money to my bank account? Can you come? Can I see you at 4? All of those are prayers. You think that he's got power. You pray to Avodah Zarah, to an idol now. You idolize that person now that you ask him. Can I meet you? Can I see you? Can we meet? If you didn't saw Hashem in that person, if you were not talking to the spark of God that he's got inside of him, to his neshama, so you were kofir. You were praying to someone. Can you help me? Can you come pick me up? What's going on? How are you? He's not here. Who are you talking to? There is no one there. Only Hashem is there. So, also when you pray, you need to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like you pray to your best friend. Mamash, to ask him until the end, please. And I know that you want to give me. Best friend, it's someone that you know that if he's got it, he wants to give you. And Hashem, he's got everything. And even in the confession, like you confess to your best friend, I'm sorry. You remember that time that you needed my help and I told you that I cannot. The truth was that I was very lazy and I was watching Police Academy and I'm sorry, I don't know what to do. I'm apologizing, I had my nonsense that evening and I was supposed to come and I'm sorry. You share, you open, you tell everything, like you're talking to your best friend. This is what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is expecting us to be in faith. And the confession, like we said, can be very hard. So you should know that the confession starts as a conversation. Means the will to confess. And with that you can spend hours on hours on hours with God. To want to open your mouth, to want to speak, to want to confess, and not to have the words. What can you do if you don't have the words? Can you confess? There are a lot of people that are saying to me, really, from an honest place, I'm trying to do tshuva. I don't know. Me, maybe my list of sins is huge. But they're trying to do tshuva, and they're doing one, two, three things tshuva. And and they stuck. They don't find more things to do tshuva on. I don't know, maybe surrounded with righteous people. Bezrat Hashem, but never ending list of avonot. I don't know what to do with it, but Bezrat Hashem. Yes, Bezrat Hashem. So, the fact that a man is spending time with Hashem, and he's talking to Hashem, and he's revealing his heart to Hashem, tells him, Ribono Shel Olam, I want to do a complete tshuva. You know what it means? You know, if a person just said one time in his life, Amen, Yeh Shemer Rabbah, this is a level that the angels, the biggest angels of them all, they're not able to say Amen, Yeh Shemer Rabbah. Because of the purity of that concept, Amen Yeh Shemer Rabbah. They're not able to bring themselves to that courage to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amen Yeh. They cannot. They're going to be burned in fire before, because of the greatness of answering Amen Yeh Shemer Rabbah. So now everyone that said Amen Yeh Shemer Rabbah, the angels are envious, they're jealous at him. They're looking at him and they're saying, wow, how he done that? And you done it without the heart, you done it without eyes, without the brain, without nothing. And Hamash, you said it. And in that time that you said, Amen Yeh Shemer Rabbah, you reached a level that the angels cannot reach. They cannot reach. Of course, that if you're going to say it with your heart, if you're going to say it with your brain, you're going to understand what you're saying, and you're going to aim, you're going to intend those words, mamash, to say them properly, like you should, l'shem shamayim, l'chvod Hashem, bekol, bekavana, loud and with the intentions. Of course, you're going to reach the heights. But already when you just say like that, Amen, Yeh Shemer Rabbah Barach, La'alam Olam Hayayit Barach, this is it, even stopped only here. You reach the level that the angels cannot reach, no matter what they're going to do, no matter which angel it is and what's his job in the world, and you don't know how pure he is. Of course you're going to be jealous if you're going to see him, how he's serving Hashem, and he cannot reach what the Duke can do without thinking. Just crossing in the street close to a Bet Knesset and hears them saying, Amen Yeh Shemer Rabbah, you're middle of shopping, Amen Yeh Shemer Rabbah Barach, La'alam Olam Hayayit Barach. And this is it. You don't know what you achieved. You can never imagine what he achieved. One of the friends told me from the class that he prayed once on his cousin, said, Ribono Shel Olam, maybe he will come to Eretz Israel. Talk about him once. One day after, he called him, telling him, I bought the ticket, I'm coming to Eretz Israel. What's going on? They haven't spoken about it. You haven't done 6 hours on him. He almost haven't done nothing for him. Just he really wanted him to come. There is a time that calls Shat Ratzon, time of a will. The will of Hashem, the heart of Hashem is open. One small prayer in that moment, and you took everything. Kol HaKupa, איך אומרים? You weren't in Vegas? That one. He wasn't in Vegas. Not everyone are perfect. What can we do? Thank you for being in Vegas for us. So, on the Bodedut, we have a promise from Rabbeinu. We said it a few times already. A promise that wasn't exist never before in the world. That Rabbeinu promised that everyone that's going to confess in front of him every day means going to have the Bodedut of conversation. And like that, now we explain that it starts even with the fact that you come and you want to do tshuva. You want. You hold that will. You came to the field, it means you want. If in the field you're chasing after yourself and you say, hey, I don't want to be here, it's a lie. I don't want to do tshuva. And those are lies. This is your Yetzer Hara talking to you now. Because you're here. You are in the field. You are in yeshiva. You are in Jerusalem. You are serving Hashem. You have kippah, tzitzit. Look at you. Don't lie. Don't lie to yourself. Yetzer Hara is a liar. Don't cooperate with him. Don't buy everything that he's selling. Don't buy everything. He's telling you, you don't want to serve Hashem. You don't want to pray. Look, you don't want to learn. So why am I here? Why I'm not in the swimming pool now in Miami? What's going on? Why I'm here? Why are you lying to me? It's a lie. I am. I do. I am serving Hashem, and I do want to serve Hashem, and a lot more than I can imagine. My soul is screaming, Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. My neshama is desiring for Hashem. So on the Bodidut, we have that promise from Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that Rabbeinu said that everyone that's going to confess every day in front of Hashem in Barach, in front of the Tzadik HaEmet, in front of Talmid Chacham, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, means Hitbodedut with Hitkashrut. So, Rabbeinu promised that the Tzadik gonna lead him in the path of truth according to the roots of his soul to complete and finish everything that he's supposed to finish in his lifetime. That is a promise that was never exist before. No righteous man ever promised that to his Hasidim. No one. There are a lot of promises, you can achieve a lot of things, but really to accomplish your tikkun, to for sure, this is it, to reach the tikkun, Mishoresh Nishmat Adam Rishon, even higher, for Rabbeinu promised that he will bring us even higher, to a higher place than the source of our neshama in the body of Adam v'Chava. Means you started your life somewhere, from that day and on you just fell lower and lower and lower. Now you started your tshuva, you're fixing. Rabbeinu promised I will bring you to a higher place than the place that you started over. It's crazy. Yes. It's crazy. So, we have that Kabbalah from Rab Avram ben Rab Nachman that promised that the world after the Geula is going to be even nicer than it was supposed to be if Adam and Chava would never sin in heaven. It was perfect over there. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu handmade. Perfect. No one touched it, no one ruined nothing. You're going to receive something higher than that. The praises that we were praising and going out from Egypt will be nothing. People will not even remember what happened in Egypt according to the miracles that we're going to see in the future to come. And already we can see those miracles. One time one of the students asked Rabbi Nachman Mitcherin, I think, can you tell me a mofet, a miracle from Rabbeinu? He told him, I'm a miracle from Rabbeinu. And every one of us can say that. Everyone. You don't need to be Rabbi Nachman Mitcherin to say I'm a mofet of Rabbeinu. Look at you. Now, the place that you're holding in your Avodat Hashem, exactly like that you are now. Now, exactly now. It's a miracle. And it's a miracle of Rabbeinu. Someone received the book Garden of Emuna 10 years ago. He was sleeping on it for 9 years. After 9 years, he woke up and he said, oh, I have that book. Maybe I'm going to read it now. You heard the CD, the name of Shalom Arush, and I don't know. One day you heard Rabbi Brody in town and you went to see, and suddenly everything woke up again. You found yourself awake on the way to Eretz Israel looking for. We have a friend here in class that came to Eretz Israel, didn't know nothing, came to the Kotel HaMa'aravi after a horrible divorce and a nightmare. Life like a nightmare. Sell everything, throw everything, came to Eretz Israel, didn't know nothing, no breslev, no nothing. Came to the Kotel HaMa'aravi, a Jew, sell everything, came to Eretz Israel, went straight to Jerusalem, went to the Kotel HaMa'aravi with his luggage, crying on the Western Wall. One of the guys from the class came to him, what's going on, what's happening, brought him into class. Brought him into the dorms, brought him into class. The private supervision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and every person cares so much, love us so much, care about us so much, loves us. And he sent Rabbeinu HaKadosh to save the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gonna redeem us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gonna change the rules of the game and gonna protect us all, and this is it. So it's not a fair fight. The nation is gonna have a complaint. Hey, what's going on? Why? Why them? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took one step back and he sent a leader. He sent a tzaddik, a righteous man. And now the nations are fighting. Now the people are arguing. Now everyone is praying to his God. And we'll see who is real and who is not. This is Rabbeinu HaKadosh. This is the power of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. When you pray, you need to know, I'm not praying based on my merits, on my zchuyot. I finished Masechta today, so tomorrow my prayer is going to be answered. No, you don't need that Masechta. Why? Because like we're saying in Zohar Chasidei Avot, that Hashem remembers the kindness of our fathers, means all of the tears, and all of the blood, and all of the sweat, and all of the marriage, and all of the days, and all of the nights, of all Jews, all Am Israel, from Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, until today, all of that huge, huge, huge pile of mitzvot, and masim tovim, and merits, people that have been slaughtered, millions of souls, millions of people that died on Kiddush Hashem, all of their rights, all of their merits are backing us up, supporting us. We're going with their powers, with their prayers. This is why you need to have that confidence that you don't need to be afraid at all. That green light that we talked about. You have a green light. We have a green light. When people are talking about the Rebbe Milubavitch and they're saying the Rebbe Milubavitch, he was huge, he was amazing, he was a giant, he was righteous. You know, the period of time that the Meshulachim, that the soldiers of Chabad was running in the cities, in the land, in all of the world, and opening all of those houses and the Batei Chabad in all of the world. That was the time, period of time in the life of the Rebbe Milubavitch that he was the most hidden in the world. No one could see him in those days. In those days he was hiding himself the most. He was teaching less and he was going out from his office less and less and less and less, and in that time the light was exploding, spreading in the world. So the power of, and they were all going by the power of the Rebbe Milubavitch. No one is, and he's not exist. Ask him, only completing what that my father-in-law, the Admor Milubavitch, the Rayatz, that he started, of Yosef Yitzchak. This is it. Only completing what that he done. Who am I? Nothing. My holy father-in-law, the Admor, continuing the light of the Admor, of the Rebbe, of the, and because that he canceled himself so much. And really, even after 45 years of sitting on the throne of Admorut Chabad, someone asked him things about himself, and he answered that he is nothing, he's just finishing what the Rebbe, the Rayat started. All of that idea of the Meshulachim, to send all of those people to go, and he was canceling himself so much. So you need to know, when you go and you talk to someone by the power of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, power of the Rabbi Milubavitch, it doesn't matter. You go and you speak with people by the merit and the power of someone that is standing behind you, that you cannot see him now, and he's praying on you, and he's pushing you forward, and he's blowing the wind in your sails, Mifasim. This is how you start your engine in the morning, or else you know that, you know who you are. You know yourself. Rav Shalom said, I took people that, how do you say, lo hayta lahem tkuma. They couldn't.
Didn't have hope.
What? Didn't have hope?
Yeah.
They didn't have hope in this world and in the world to come. The Mishnah is saying, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek le'olam haba. Every one of Am Yisrael he's got a share for the world to come. Except of, and then it's written a list of the except of almost everyone around to always say. You open the Mishnah, it's terrifying Mishnah. Everyone are quoting, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek le'olam haba. The next sentence over there it's a done deal. So, if you check yourself, you find yourself very easily in that list of the one that doesn't have a share to the world to come. Very easy. Very easy, very easy to find yourself in that list. But still, it cannot be that the person that is serving Hashem Yitzbarach will not going to have a share to the world to come. And we do know and believe that we're going to have a share in the world to come. And what woke us up to start serving Hashem Yitzbarach? Those are the righteous people. Those are the righteous people that gave us chizuk and power and strength and the good advice and the wonderful powers and the will to do things. They gave you that. The fact that Rabbeinu told you, even if you're ruined, you should believe that you can fix, and there is no despair in the world at all, and you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu enjoys from every small thing that you do, and all of those chizukim, and he told you, if you're going to say Tikkun HaKlali, it's fixing, and if you will go to the mikveh, it means hope, and mikveh is like hope that gives tikva, and if you go to Uman Rosh Hashanah, so don't worry, and all of those concepts give you power, gave you life, gave you the reason to wake up in the morning. Stop using Ritalin and all other kinds of drugs. Say, let's take responsibility. Let's start. Let's run our engines. Let's drive. Let's do. Let's go to Eretz Yisrael. Where a person finds the powers to make Aliyah, to come to Eretz Yisrael, this is something that I will never gonna understand. How you can leave your family? It's a mamash, you like Avraham Avinu. You left everything behind and you came. And you're all alone. Alright, now we're together. Nice. But everyone knows that he is alone in a certain way. And in a minute of a crisis, Chas Shalom, he can decide to drop everything and to go back. And even if the past is not so glowing, the Yetzer Hara paints its mamash like it was heaven on earth over there in hell. Mamash, amazing. It was amazing. Amazing. It was good. Very good. Tov me'od. Zeh yetzer hara. Very good. Zeh yetzer hara. Imaginations. But you have those imaginations. So it's a very dangerous situation that you're at. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you power to make another step forward, and another itbodedut, and another time to go to the mikveh. So it's a miracle. Where you have those powers? 5 years ago, you didn't have the power to put tefillin. That tefillin weighs 200 pounds for you. You couldn't put tefillin in the morning. And now, you're going and you're convincing others to put tefillin. And you go and you think, maybe that guy, maybe I'll talk to him. Then I make another phone call to him and to that. And maybe this and that. No, you become to be mezakeh rabim. You're making people righteous. You're supporting people. You're helping people. You make phone calls to your family and you say, I'm praying on you. And I mentioned your name in the Kotel. I was in Rashbi. I was praying on you. And everyone, I appreciate it. Thank you. Wow. And you revive them. You give them life. Where you have those powers from? From Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu gave it to his student, and that student handed it to his student, and you received it from your Rebbe, that your Rebbe received it from his Rebbe, and his Rebbe received it from his Rebbe. It's all by the power of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed his mercy. That he sent a righteous man to the generation, that righteous man is going to give us powers, going to let us believe in ourselves. And now by that, we can go back to the other subject that I wanted to tell you. That it's an amazing, amazing, amazing thing to think about, to understand, and to work with, to purify your brain, to believe in yourself. That Rabbeinu gives you the power to believe in yourself, that you're good, that you have good points in yourself, that you can fix, that you still have hope, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, and on. When a person is sinning, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we said before, is plastering his eyes. He cannot do tshuva. The path of tshuva is hidden from him. But when, and there is a curtain, there is a wall that is separating between the nation to the Creator. This is it. And you cannot see the way to go back to Hashem. Because you sinned, you made Hashem angry. Hashem is hiding his face from you. Chas v'shalom. But when a man is doing tshuva, so he's removing that curtain away. He's breaking that wall. And he can see the light of Hashem again. The light of Hashem, it's a huge light that no one can reach immediately. And it constricts itself to other things that we're going to be able to enjoy from it. For an example, the light of the Torah. If just you're going to see the light of the wisdom of Hashem, you're going to be burned in that light. You're going to be blind. You cannot see. You cannot contain it. Lo yirani Adam v'chai. A human being cannot see me and stay alive. Don't have those vessels. The vessels are going to be cancelled on the spot. And you're finished. You're done. You're not here anymore. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu constrict himself, his wisdom, to the letters of the Torah. And now you have the Chumash, the Chamisha Chumshe Torah, 24 books of Nevi'im Ketuvim, you have the Torah Shebe'al Peh, Mishnah, Gemara, the Halachot, all of the Midrashim, all of the books, Musar, Chassidut, all of the books. This is how you can see the light of Hashem. This is one way. The other way, it's the light of your neshama, the light of your soul. People that are sinners, far from Torah mitzvot, let them sit with the Gemara, they cannot learn. They don't have the will, they don't have the desire to learn. They see that page looks too complex for them, and they're rejecting it. Why they're rejecting it? Because they don't have the merit. Because they sin, they haven't done tshuva, that curtain is up, they cannot see the light of Hashem through the Torah. Exactly the same in the light of the soul. When you made tshuva, you believe in yourself. You see that you're all good. You see that you have a neshama, and you're all good. You see that you're an angel. You see inside that you are pure. You see your own beauty. You see that you are a soul, that you're a good soul. But when you sin, and you haven't done tshuva, so the Yetzirah, he's got the permission to talk and to tell you, you're bad, you're mean, you're evil, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're far, you don't have hope, there's no chance for you, look at you, look what you're doing. All of that is because of the sins. It's because of the Avonot. What's the solution? To do tshuva. And when you're going to do tshuva, you're going to push away all of those curtains that are separating you from seeing Hashem. That Hashem is constricting himself in the light of your own neshama. So the beginning is to look for the light of your own neshama. Because you cannot see Hashem. You need to see Hashem from inside. To close your eyes, to see Hashem. If your eyes are open, you see people, you see furniture, you see details. You cannot see Hashem. In the moment that you close your eyes, there is nothing except of Hashem. People, there are no people. Furniture, there are no furniture. Things, details, parts, nothing. What there is, infinity. Only Hashem. You can see Hashem. You just need to close your eyes and already you have an amazing screen that you can see Hashem. You can see everything. If you're going to purify yourself, the darkness is going to disappear and you're going to see the world. You're going to see everything. You're going to see Hashem. Righteous people, you come to a righteous man, you ask him a question, you see he's closing his eyes and he's answering to you. Open his eyes and answering to you. This is what it goes on. You ask him, there are righteous people that they don't even need to close their eyes for that. They see only Hashem Yitbarach, so they can see. They can see from this side of the world to the other side. There was one righteous man that was crying to Hashem, how can it be that you gave me eyes that are coming from Enei Hashem, Asher Hema Meshotetot B'chol Haaretz, that been pulled to this world, been created from that light of your eyes that are going and watching everything in the world, and I cannot see through walls. He was crying to Hashem, how can it be that I defected my eyes so much that I cannot see through walls? How can it be? Walls? Piece of stone, piece of cement is closing my eyes, is stopping my ability to see. It's only because that I defected my eyes. Really, the eyes are coming from the eyes of Hashem. That nothing can stop Hashem from seeing. Chashecha ka'ora, the darkness for him, it's like the most illuminating day. He sees, it's all bright, everything is revealed to him. Your eyes came from that place. Why you don't see? Because you contaminated your eyes. If you're going to do tshuva on your eyes going to be open. If you're going to do tshuva on your heart, on your desires, you're going to feel. You're going to sense. You're going to have a heart, flesh and bone. Really, you're going to feel. You're going to be able to feel. Today, you're numb. You don't feel. Your heart is closed. Because that he was so selfish all of those years to want and to need and to feel and to be excited from nonsense, been contaminated, been closed, this is it. But if you're going to purify yourself and purify with more tshuva and more tshuva until you're going to complete your tshuva, you're going to have a heart. Your kidney is going to be able to give you advice, klayot yo'atzot, Avraham Avinu's kidneys were giving him the advice to go to seek for Hashem in Barak. You're going to have kidneys like those that are pushing you to serve Hashem. Today, your kidneys, you can have stones in your kidneys.
That you can have. Cannot have Hashem. Stones you can contain in your kidneys. Chas v'shalom.
I had that once. It's horrible. Mamash. Could understand the labors of my wife a little bit.
I was crawling on the floor. Ah! Nothing to do.
Oh, Hashem. When you do tshuva, you remove that curtain. You remove that curtain, you can see the light of your own neshama. Means you can see the good that you have. Because the good, the source of good is Hashem. Hashem is good. And the creation, all of the physical creation, that is bad. So you separate between good to bad. You judge yourself two cups full. You see that inside you have good. And in your friend, when you're judging him two cups full, you understand that he's got a pure soul. And you're not angry at him on that mistake that he made. You just understand that he made it because he had the Yetzer Hara. And you define, you find the difference between good and bad. No, he is a pure soul, he's a good friend of mine, but he had the Yetzer Hara, this is why he made a mistake. Yetzer Hara overpowered on him. This is why he failed. Yetzer Hara failed him in that sin. This is how you judge a person who comes full. You see the difference between his soul to his Yetzer Hara. And you're not judging him because of his Yetzer Hara. No, I hate him. Why you hate him? He's got Yetzer Hara. You don't have Yetzer Hara. You yourself don't have exactly the same Yetzer Hara. If you're going to check, you're going to recognize yourself in his action 100%. This is the truth. Kadosh Baruch Hu put it in your life for sure, only that you're going to wake up to do tshuva for yourself. And this is another important thing that connected, that Rav Shalom said, that when from heaven they're pushing the person down and he's failing to see his humility, like we spoke yesterday also, it's only to show him his will, to show you where really you're holding in your will, what you desire, really what you desire. They just want to help you. So they're showing to you, they reveal to you from heaven that you desire for nonsense, that you want shliyot, that you want kishkushim, that you want nonsense, that you want things that are so low, that this is really what that you want. And then you're going to do tshuva. And you're going to bring your will to want Hashem. You're going to force yourself to want Hashem. Instead of wanting nonsense, how are you going to remember that you have a Yetzer Hara if they're not going to bring it up back again? You can forget. If now you have desire for money, you have desire for honor, and you have it and you receive it and no problems comes out because of it, so you will never going to wake up to understand that you have a problem, that you're afraid from poverty, that you're afraid not to have money, that you don't have confidence in Hashem Yitbarach, that you don't have faith in Hashem Yitbarach that He's supplying the parnasah, that He's supplying food and money and everything. They have to bring you to a certain crisis, to a certain difficulty, that you're going to recognize your lack of faith, that you're going to be able to pray on that and to fix it. To say, Hashem, I don't have faith, please Hashem, give me faith. If you are not going to wake up to see you don't have faith, you desire nonsense, you like shtuyot, you rather to waste your time than to learn Torah, how are you going to pray on learning Torah? If for you 1 hour a day to learn Torah, it's good, it's enough, and for you, you feel happy with it, and you're doing it, and all the rest of the day you waste your time. So how are they going to wake you up to understand that you need to learn more Torah? That 1 hour is not enough, and that you have to learn more Torah, and that you're going to lose so much if you're not going to learn more Torah. How are they going to wake you up? They have to show you that something is missing in your life. How are they going to do that if not by showing you your lackings, your lack of faith, your lack of happiness, your lack of satisfaction? They have to show it to you, that you need to fix, that you need to do. This is the secret of the rebuke. This is why Kadosh Baruch Hu rebukes, only because He wants to help you to make another step forward. So from that rebuke, you just need to wake up and to say, thank you, Hashem, for opening my eyes, like we said yesterday, to see my level. This is my level. I love nonsense. I like shtuyot. I'm happy from things that I'm going to pay for them, that I'm going to pay. Hopefully only in the world to come, if not in this world. And maybe you should say differently. If you really understand that in the world to come the punishments are a lot worse. And here the suffering that a man has and that is making forgiveness is very easy. Very easy. If by confession, by doing tshuva, you erase your sin, can you understand how great it is, how amazing it is? All of the lackings are only because lack of faith, lack of prayers. So always, from every down, from every difficulty, from every crisis, just to pull ourselves back to the field. To say thank you to Hashem Yitbarach, to appreciate, to understand the mercy of Hashem that He revealed to us what else we need to fix. Thank you very much, sweet ones. Chazak u'baruch.